God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I spent the weekend getting pretty excited, man, pretty jazzed, a new puzzle to dig into, a new mystery to solve. One of the things that animated me during the time of the COVID lockdowns, which, by the way, are coming back. You know that, right? I mean, you know they're planning the same technique, right? You know that France has ordered ducks to be injected with modified RNA, right? Self-replicating, self-amplifying, in other words, a so-called vaccine that amplifies itself, that replicates itself, so no farmer can opt out. I mean, you know that, right? You know they're still obsessed with injecting us with this stuff, right? So while the first wave of this, or maybe the second, AIDS looks a lot like this, the way Tony Fauci, the medical dictator, handled that, I liked the puzzle. I admit it. It appeared very complex at first, and yet it was very, very simple. The more testing, the more cases. Cases of nothing. Cases of people who aren't sick and aren't going to feel sick and can't make others sick, but it's a case. And the more I gained to understand the mechanisms, the fake complexity, the more I guess, enjoyed helping other people understand it. And the show thrived in that regard. So now with the puzzle of Las Vegas and what went on there. And by the way, I'm not going to be saying the names of people involved in these things, because all too often people who do these things want their names known. So I choose not to oblige. We can call them the New Orleans event and the Las Vegas event. In the case of Las Vegas, you have someone who was a special forces soldier who had a very fast rising career. He was on his second marriage, and there are rumors about that second marriage, that things weren't good, that things were falling apart. There's rumors about a DNA test and a baby that didn't match. And there's a lot of rumors. But then there's some known facts. Or are they? So a guy with a fast-rising career in the Special Forces decides to come home from Germany while on active duty, rent a Cybertruck, apparently take a video vlog of his activities, build an improvised explosive device that wasn't going to harm anybody but him, drive to Las Vegas, drive around the block of the Trump Hotel a couple times, and then shoot himself in the head and light off the explosives, shoot himself in the head, and then the explosives go off. It's a mystery. Now we have the idea, the rumor, the thing that the FBI is apparently now saying happened, that he emailed some people in podcasting. One of them he tried to get to was Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan's very, very well known. And the gentleman that he sent this to is not as well known. Sam Shoemaker is not as well known, but now he is. So the FBI has apparently said, yeah, that was his email. How do they know that? If it came off his phone, that's one thing. Okay, it was a Proton email meant that is encrypted, that has VPN. You can't tell where the person was when they sent it. So, okay, mystery solved. He went nuts. He sent a manifesto describing these high-tech drones that we have apparently on our East Coast that operate off of a gravity kind of shifting technology. And they are very high-tech, and only us in China have them. And they're a game changer in terms of the world wars. They can hover indefinitely. They can have indefinite payloads. They can hover over the White House forever and then drop a massive payload on it. He talked about war crimes he was forced to commit as a drone pilot. And then in another communication, he talked about the failing of America, the falling down of America, the corruption of the Democrat Party, and the need to rally around Trump and Vance because they're doing away with DEI. He talked about that. Then he talked about truckers blocking Washington, D.C., and active and retired military going and kicking the people out of office peacefully if needed. It's quite a puzzle. Here's why. Why would the FBI allow us to know these things? Why would they comment saying the manifesto is genuine? Why would they provide that legitimacy? Why would they do that? Why does the footage of the Cybertruck somehow never contain the muzzle blast from a 50 caliber Desert Eagle pistol that presumably the Special Forces soldier used in the vehicle to blow his head off? Why did he choose a Cybertruck that was bulletproof and a bomb that was substandard, that was not going to harm anybody, no shrapnel-making devices in it? It's not pressurized gas. He knew how to do that. He said as much. Why did he use a joke bomb with fireworks and gas cans? Because he said he wanted to draw attention to this conversation. What part of the conversation? The part where he's encouraging a coup? Or the part where he's describing what's obvious? Washington, D.C. is corrupt. Now, here's the puzzle. Did he really do this, or did someone do it to him? Did someone kill him and then put him behind the wheel with his eyes facing forward? And I don't think that Teslas can tell if you have dead eyes or live eyes. They just know there's a human face looking forward. And then it occurred to me, as I got excited about solving this puzzle, I don't care. I care about him. I care about the people murdered in New Orleans. I care about the families. I care about their pain. I care about this man's kids, his ex-wife, his current wife, his mother and his father, the humanity, his soul. I care about all that. But the puzzle. Now, see, why would I not care about the puzzle? It's almost COVID-like. I mean, it's not as complex. But maybe it's just that. Maybe he just went crazy. Or maybe the CIA did this as a psyop. Now, why would I have reason to think that our own government would do something so horrible as part of a psyop, a psychological operation against us? Maybe it's because of things like Kash Patel talks about. Kash Patel may well be the director of the FBI talking here about COVID, where it came from, and who was involved.
So I already told you what we did when we briefed Trump on the originations and what he did, based on the intel we had at the time. Then enter Fauci in the media. No, 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 the Chinese would never do this. It's not about, no, no, it didn't come from that. Then the wet bat thing came out and some other goofy whatever.
Right.
Okay, what did we just learn 6 weeks ago? Gina Haspel, as director of the CIA, under Trump, authorized 6 case officers and intelligence analysts to be paid off so that they would change their assessment on COVID originations.
Correct.
That's not a Kash Patel thing.
That's CIA.
That's a CIA institutional decision to spend taxpayer dollars to lie to the world where COVID came from because it fit the narrative that Fauci and the media wanted out there, along with Gina Haspel, because she didn't want Donald Trump to get the credit for reading the intel right making the hard right decision.
That was Kash Patel talking with Glenn Beck. Now, I've known this for some time, that part of the COVID PSYOP, and it was a PSYOP, was born out of the administrative state, the intelligence state. I thought it was just the Defense Department, the Pentagon. I was stupid. Of course it was the CIA as well, because there were sheep-dip CIA employees involved in COVID. Now, it's a puzzle. Would the CIA put a bullet in the guy's head, an active duty military member, and send this body in to blow this bomb up to distract us, to distort things, to make us feel uneasy? I think they would. Why wouldn't they? Here's the only way you could say they wouldn't. Because it would be, like, wrong. Find me the part of recent history that shows the CIA cares about right or wrong. I mean, at the top. There are no doubt very brave, very patriotic, very godly CIA employees and operatives out there risking their life this second to keep goofballs like me safe. There's also no doubt that at the top, it's corrupt. And they have done everything they can to confuse Americans about COVID, the origins of that, the elections. They meddled in the elections. They continue to try to meddle in elections. So why don't I care? something God said. We are suffering the effects of human kings. We don't need to busy ourselves trying to figure out things we can't control. Yes, it should inform our voting decisions. I can't change the outcome of this. What I can do is speak into a world that has fallen, in which Satan seeks to distort, distract, and depress. He has a very limited toolkit, and to keep us nervous and scared and uneasy would be a great victory, because nervous, scared, uneasy people do not have the calmness of mind to spend time in the Word very often. The defense? More time in the Word. Do you know who Claire Danes is? I'd lost track of her. I thought she was a very, very talented actress when she was a young girl. I thought she was cute as Dickens, as my grandpa would say. And apparently she's still acting. She has a role where she plays someone involved in the intelligence services. And here she is talking with Stephen Colbert. And listen till the end, when Stephen Colbert gets very, very nervous.
In his retirement, he curates this week-long spy camp for us producers and writers. And
really?
Yeah.
Is it like, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, so we park ourselves in a club in Georgetown and talk to, like, real spooks. And, you know, people in the intelligence community and the State Department and journalists and people who really...
What do they tell you that, like, what's the most surprising thing that they've told you about their jobs or something you would need to know?
Well, every year it's different, right? We've been at it for a while, and the climate has changed. But this year it was all about, you know, the distrust between the administration and the intelligence world. And the intelligence community was suddenly kind of allying itself with journalists, which usually they're not.
How long ago did you start shooting this episode? This season.
If you watch the video, Colbert panics. He leans forward. His hands go to the top of his head. It is classic neurolinguistic programming signal for I am panicking. Oh, this is a huge problem. The higher up your hands go in your head, in most cases, that means you're trying to contain thoughts. Oh, this is bad. No, wait. No, don't talk about the alignment between the CIA and media. Does Colbert know about these things? If you've studied the history of Hollywood and the history of the CIA, you can't not know these things. There's a reason I refer to the media as the Mockingbird media. It comes from Project Mockingbird. It also comes from the Hunger Games. The Mockingbirds in the Hunger Games, simply repeating what they're told to. This, the software tells them to say things. So the CIA has been in concert with Hollywood and the media and the news media forever, creating news packages for them to fill our minds with what the CIA wants us to believe. Therefore, in the case of Las Vegas, because that's the one where there's a mystery in my mind, I know this. A man is dead. I pray he's gone to the Lord. I don't have any belief that the man... terrorist in New Orleans has gone to the Lord. He prayed to a false god. I think he prayed to Satan. I think Islam is a false faith. In the case of the families, they're all hurting. I pray this is an opportunity for God to use us and others to call people to himself. I choose, rather than trying to solve this puzzle, because man, I was excited about it, a new puzzle to solve. I instead choose to not be distracted. All that time solving that puzzle is time not spent building the kingdom. And we can use puzzles like this to build the kingdom. As people ask us, man, why are things so upsetting? Why are things so messed up? Why do we have such stupid people running police forces in New Orleans? And the chief of police there, the 82-year-old woman who was fired from her job in Oakland, she is not gifted with an intellect. She's gifted with political maneuvering. Answer? There's one problem in the world. One solution. The problem is sin. The solution is Christ. The prophecies of evil will be good, good will be evil. We're living through that. We'll come back with Elon Musk, enemy of free speech. Is he also an enemy of Islamic people? Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Next segment, about 10 minutes, 15 minutes now, if it's Tower Babbling, plus some emails. Listeners, wrap up the show with a personal note. I always do that in this program. There's a saying I started to talk about, or started to use about 8 or 9 years ago when I was doing morning drive talk radio in Seattle, and that is that two things can be true at once. People can be stupid and do things the right way, and people can be smart and do things the wrong way. So two things can be true at once. Someone's dumb and they're right. Two things can be true at once. Elon Musk only likes free speech when he agrees with it. That pattern is as evident as the nose on his face. After he took a beating online for his views on the HB1 visa program, which is a wildly, wildly corrupt program used to bring in workers of all sorts to supplant Americans and to enrich companies who are simply bringing in people for money. This is not the top 0.1% or anything like that. It's interns, it's grocery store clerks, it's gas station clerks, etc. It's millions of people when it should be 15, 20, maybe 50,000 a year. So when he came out so vociferously in favor of that and was duly spanked on his own platform, Twitter, he changed the rules. You don't get to do that. And he punished some very big Twitter producers, content makers. He took away their subscriptions. That's their revenue. He took away their reach. That's the ability to use Twitter to drive traffic to their other platforms. He took away their blue check marks. So people now have to wonder, is that really them? It was obvious revenge. Now, Twitter has announced that there's going to be some tweaks to the algorithm. This is what Elon Musk has announced. It's to create unregretted user minutes. And people have looked into what this entails. Want to know? If you don't want to be seen negatively by Twitter's algorithms, don't question the government. Huh, that's interesting. Who's the government now? Well, very soon it's going to be President Trump and his team and the executive branch, and Elon Musk is part of that. Don't criticize him. You'll lose social clout and visibility on Twitter. He says it's about bringing in more entertaining content to make Twitter more fun. That's what he says. I don't believe him. So two things can be true at once. Elon Musk only likes free speech when he agrees with it. And sometimes Elon Musk uses the free speech he enjoys on Twitter and has taken away from other people for good reasons. Well, and then you can double down on this. Two things can be true at once. Sometimes he uses it as a distraction. After it became clear that Elon Musk's platform, people on his platform, about 90% of them disagree with him on his stance on the HB1 visa program. He wants no limits on that. He wants it expanded. He's threatened Americans over this. Elon Musk began to post stories about one of the most evil things that has ever happened in the West. This is the rape scandal, the grooming and rape scandals in the UK. 250,000 girls, according to one member of parliament who extrapolated the data, 250,000 girls groomed and raped by men who happen to be Pakistani, largely, and are almost all Muslim. So why would we care about their faith? I mean, isn't that risking having people targeted? We care because it's part of the story. Who, what, where, when, why? Why? Why is it mostly Muslim men? Because sexual conquest, even rape, is okay when it serves Allah. In fact, it's a used tactic, a known tactic. Part of it is about humiliating your enemy, humiliating the conquered people. Another part of it is having Muslim babies born, even to rape victims. And that has happened too. And the UK government has seen fit to make sure that the rapists get to visit with their kids, even if the mothers don't want that. Mothers who chose life instead of abortion. So Elon Musk began posting about this, and all of a sudden, the controversy on Twitter about the HB1 visa program was gone. Now, it might be that he also had the algorithm manipulated, so it appeared to be gone, but it this story exploded. And again, two things can be true at once. Thank God it exploded. Because there are new findings in England, not just that it was 1,400 girls, that perhaps it was up to 250,000, but also the degree to which Parliament and the police and social workers and hospitalists went to hide this. Now, in the midst of all this, there's a woman named Bushra Shaki. Bushra Shaki is loved by the camera. She is videogenic, photogenic. She describes herself as Lady B. She is a University of the Arts of London graduate. She is a political commentator and a mentor, she says. Social political commentator. She's been on Talk TV and the BBC, and she's founder of Run Racists Out, and she's an analyst. She had some questions about who Elon Musk is, and she made rather a long statement. 4 minutes is an eternity on social media.
Elon Musk is having a breakdown on X. In 1 hour alone, he posted 23 times about the British government. Just to set the record straight, I'm no Labour fan. So, him criticising Keir Starmer or anyone else, I'm not really bothered by that. But this is about billionaire foreign interference in British politics.
Foreign interference in British politics by talking about it? That's not interference, that's talking about it.
Which we all should be dead against. His barrage of posts bolstering somebody like Stephen Yaxley Lennon, a.k.a. Tommy Robinson, it's not new news. That's not new news, but he has made it news.
It's new news that Tommy Robinson is in a prison cell in solitary confinement. Why? Because Tommy Robinson has made a documentary. About what? About the conquest of Muslim men, 98% Muslim men, raping, grooming and raping 98% white girls on purpose. I've got them on audio saying it's on purpose. It's not a mistake that they're white girls. The new news is that Tommy Robinson is in a prison cell in solitary confinement for daring to make a documentary about this.
He's made grooming gangs or Muslim grooming gangs news.
So she put the quote marks around Muslim grooming gangs as if they're not Muslim grooming gangs. They are Muslim grooming gangs.
But you have to ask yourself, why? Exploiting and weaponizing these victims for political and religious politics?
Weaponizing the victims? The victims who were ignored by police? The victims who were sometimes arrested? 11-year-old girls arrested for being drunk when they were made drunk by their rapists, and the rapists let go? Here's what she wrote above her statement. What has the Mossad got on Elon Musk? Is the only question that comes to mind after witnessing his desperate attempts to further ignite Muslim hate on X. Wait, do you remember when Elon Musk was anti-Semitic and had to go to Israel and go through a struggle session? Elon Musk may well have used this to distract from the HB1 visa program, but you don't need any help giving people reason to hate Islam. And therein lies the rub. How can we hate a false faith and not hate the adherents of the false faith? We as Christians don't get to hate the adherents of a false faith. We have to pray for them. We have to find a way to love them. Jesus said, love your enemy. And sometimes that's horribly difficult. This is a video from the mosque attended by the New Orleans terrorist who used his truck to murder people and was not apparently that skilled at setting off IEDs, because he had those scattered around the city as well for a second wave of murders. Thank God those didn't go off.
One of the stories that we learn in the Quran is the story of Ashab al-Sabt in Surah Al-A'raf. The story of the people of Saturday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them not to fish on Saturday. They said, you know what? We won't fish on Saturday. our trenches will fish for us on Saturday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned some of them into monkeys and some of them into pigs and some of them into rats and so on and so forth. This punishment was revealed upon this group of people, and we know this story. Do we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not watching us here? That's what the Jews thought. They thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them only in Jerusalem, in Baytul Muqaddas. So they went out everywhere on the face of this earth, started creating havoc everywhere.
That is the mosque attended by the New Orleans terrorist murderer from New Year's Eve. Incidentally, that looks like it was Plan B. You know that, right? Well, here's why I mention that. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. Most of the revelers had gone home. I wonder what Plan A was. So there are reasons for people to hate the false faith of Islam, saying that Jewish people have been turned into pigs and rats and monkeys. That's hateful. There's a good reason to hate the false religion of Islam, because it's a false religion drawing people to hell. It doesn't mean that we can hate Muslim people. Well, their faith might allow that. Ours does not, if we're Christian. We have to love Muslim people, all of them. And we have to hope that the Lord will work through us to help them come to the true faith in Christ. That's what we have to do. And sometimes it's not easy to love people, to love your enemy. It's easy to love the lovable. The Bible reminds us of that. But that's a radical mosque. It's just one. Now, I can go and grab audio clip after audio clip after audio clip of radicalized mosques in America, but this is metastasized. It's metastasized onto the campuses. And we saw this after October 7th and the attacks on Israel and the Jewish people and the murders and the rapes and the kidnappings, which still continue. There was just a video over the weekend of a 15-year-old girl who's been in captivity for 456 days. She's in a dark cave-like room weeping, shaking, obviously constantly abused. That's pure evil. We don't get to hate the perpetrators. We can hate what they're doing. We can pray for righteous justice. We can pray for God to free her. We can pray for God to strike her attackers dead. And we can't hate them. But there's reason to hate the religion of Islam, the false faith, because of what it's doing to people's souls. This is a Kent State professor, Iram Nader Taha, talking about the October 7th terrorist attacks.
We have been watching the news months before October 7th. All the masajids are being liberated, purified, and I am the only masjid that is being disgraced day and night. So your brothers and sisters in Gaza responded. The faces of the children of Israel will be so humiliated. Before that, it was say, oh, Israel, the fourth strongest army in the world. It is undefeated. They were able to defeat five Arabic armies in less than 6 hours.
It's a Kent State professor celebrating the rape murder of civilians on October 7th. There's reason to hate false faiths, which brings us back to two things can be true at once. I met and have met time and again some gentle, intellectually curious, lovely and beautiful Islamic people. I met them when I worked in tech. And I actually sat with them as they read to me the Quran, portions they found beautiful. And I had the opportunity to say to them, that's beautiful language. It's beautiful language. May I read some to you? From time to time, they would let me do this. A dear friend of mine, one of my very dearest, so precious to me. Some of his kids are in that rebellious mode. He's a very good Christian man. He and his wife are very good, lovely Christian people. But they live in an East Coast part of the country where it's very, very liberal. And his son is dating and may well marry a Muslim woman. His son, who's walking away from the Christian faith. He's become lukewarm. Now, he doesn't believe in the false God of Allah, but he loves this woman. She loves him. And she is a beautiful girl. Stunning, in fact. Smart and gentle and intelligent and hates radical Islam, hates what it does to women, hates the covering of the faces, the wearing of the shame masks, she calls them. So she is a modern Muslim woman. And my friend's response to this, I found utterly brilliant. Rather than saying to his son, I forbid you to marry a Muslim woman, and he could forbid it, but he couldn't stop it. Rather than saying, she cannot come in our home, he said, please bring her over. Ask her to bring her prayer rugs. She did. She brought her prayer rugs. To her stunned amazement, my dear friend had some Muslim prayer rugs. He had a Quran. Why? Because he's traveled the world. They were given to him as gifts. He believes Islam is a false faith and satanic. And he said, will you show me your prayers? And she did. And he said, may I read to you from the Psalms? These prayers, these poems, predate your faith and my faith. May I read some to you? And she agreed. They're beautiful. God's word never returns void. We'll come back on the Disciples' View. I can say it and mean it here. It's absolutely the truth. There is absolutely no American Family Radio without your support, your listening, and to the monthly donors who support us on a monthly basis, just thank you. It can't happen without you, period. We have one audience member, that's God, and then a whole bunch of family members, that's you guys. So I say one audience member and that we seek to please one entity, that's God Almighty. We do that with your help. And we hope that the work here glorifies God and means that you have stewarded your money well. If you're not yet a monthly donor, you can do that at afr.net. We'll get to the tire babbling here in a second. Just a couple of emails to go through. I try to catch up on emails as often as I can. I'm not very good at it. And I just plead with you to understand that. First of all, Mark from Dallas, Texas. Mark writes, Dear Todd, I love your program on AFR and I've started to look at your YouTube channel. I usually use YouTube for sports. It's cool to see the Lord being discussed there in the political realms. And yes, you're right. The comments from people who are liberal are very, very entertaining. The reason I write is I'm a little bit confused. I know that you're conservative and Christian, and I know that you supported President Trump throughout the election, but I haven't heard a moment of celebration from you that this country is about to be freed. On January 20th, we're rescued. And I haven't heard any celebration. I don't hear every show. Perhaps I've missed this, but I would anticipate a great and gleeful celebration. I think we need to give ourselves some time away from cynicism and celebrate great victories like this, like the United States being rescued. Love your program. Love to hear the email on the show. Thanks for what you do, Mark in Dallas, Texas. Mark, thanks for the note. I appreciate you. Let me say this as gently and as truthfully as I can. Our rescue is not coming from Washington, D.C. I am pleased that President Trump was reelected for the second term, albeit 4 years too late. Not too late, but 4 years later than it should have been. I believe that the last election was stolen from him. I know it was rigged. I believe it was stolen. That's one of the reasons I'm absolutely pleased that he's back. For me, it was a must elect. Because the election was stolen, in my mind, it was stolen. Therefore, we couldn't allow that to go and not be countered. Otherwise, this country would be lost if we accepted that. So why no massive celebration? Because I do not believe Donald Trump is going to rescue us. I believe he's going to right the country in some ways, if he can. But also because I see signs of deep concern about his administration. There is a war in Team Trump over these injections. These injections, these modified RNA injections, are the single worst human rights crime perpetrated in my lifetime. I am 57, so I didn't live through the Holocaust. This is the worst human rights crime perpetrated in history, and they want to do it again, using the bird flu as the excuse. They're already heating up to do this again. They are obsessed with injecting you with mRNA. And it doesn't matter how many results come out. How now we've learned that there is human DNA in 6 to 450 times the amount that ever should have been in these shots. Now that we have people saying, and not people, researchers who are putting their careers on the line saying, these must be banned because they are literally injecting you with cancer-causing agents. So they're seeking to do this again. So Mark, I am pleased that President Trump was elected. I believe there's some things that he's going to do that are great. My big issue, he's going to ban, he says, the surgical genital mutilation of children. The chemical surgical genital mutilation of children. He's going to ban that. That, to me, is an issue on which to die. It's a hill on which to die. So I am optimistic. I am pleased, but I am not celebrating. So you haven't missed that. Now, it sounds like you are celebrating. Praise God. If you feel that way, praise God. Perhaps you believe that God is going to use President Trump to bring people's souls to himself. If so, then praise God. So my focus, I want it to be on building the kingdom. I have to admit that it isn't always on building the kingdom. I have to admit that. I also get distracted, distorted, and depressed. I hope that doesn't change your appreciation of the program. And after all, remember, I'm just one host. There's many of other hosts here who might well agree with you that this is a cause for huge celebration. Thanks for listening, Mark. Appreciate you. Tina writes, and Tina, please say where you're writing from. It's really helpful. We're on 180 radio stations. I really like to know where people are writing from. Dear Todd, you speak so often about what you call the gender cult. I wanted to ask you a very simple question. Do you think anyone is transgender? Love the program, like your intelligence and the fact that you try to temper it with great, great compassion as well. Tina. Hi, Tina. Thanks for the note. I appreciate that. No, I don't. I don't believe anyone is transgender. I don't believe anyone was born in the wrong body. I say that because we are our bodies. Now, here's what I think I know is that being confused about one's gender is a very old mental illness. It has existed for a very long time. And it used to be called gender dysphoria. And that meant that you were effectively unhappy with your gender. It is in a range of other forms of dysphoria. There's something called generalized body dysphoria. This is where people believe that they're ugly no matter the evidence to the contrary. They hate the way they look. There's something called structural dysphoria, where people don't like the structures of their bodies. They believe that they were born with too many limbs. Literally, there are people who believe that they were born to be paralyzed. There's a young woman who actually got herself paralyzed. She talked a surgeon into paralyzing her. So she's now paralyzed from the waist down, and she says she's much happier that way. So that's called body integrity disorder. Body integrity disorder. So gender dysphoria is a cousin to this. But you and I both know that it's not a good idea to take someone with a good set of working legs and to paralyze them. It's not just that they can't walk. It's that their bowels don't work right. Their nervous system doesn't work right. Their blood flow doesn't work right. Nothing works right. Likewise with gender dysphoria. The last thing we should look at is surgery and hormones. And it used to be, Tina, back in the day, that even if you were an adult, there was gatekeepers. There was you were forced to go through counseling and talk therapy time and again for years until they would finally say, okay, let's have you start dressing like the opposite sex. And after a period of time of doing that, 6 months to a year to sometimes 2 years, under the supervision of a psychiatrist and psychologist, then they would begin to look at drugs, hormones, and eventually surgery. So I still don't believe those people were transgender. I believe they had a mental illness that was not solved through talk therapy. In the new world, they don't even give the talk therapy the time. They pretend that's conversion therapy. It's not. It's talking about why you feel a way. That's not conversion therapy. That's processing. So appreciate the note. Tina, thanks for supporting AFR. Next time you write in, please let us know where you're coming from. You can write to me at thetoddhermanshow.com or at AFR.net. On this program, we have a tradition of thanking the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouted questions. I understand, John. I understand. I've dealt with this question about 3 times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babbling.
3 stories in the Tower of Babbling, starting with the beleaguered and, in my judgment, sadly inept police chief or police superintendent of New Orleans. She was asked to take a look at what happened there and maybe do in hindsight, how did things go? How did you perform?
Do you acknowledge that you let the victims down by not having an appropriate security plan?
Oh, that's not the correct. That's not correct. We would disagree with that. We had
a plan that allowed an attacker to drive into a crowd.
And I take exception to that, and I do not agree with that.
That has to be a failure.
We do know that people have lost their lives, but if you're experienced with terrorism, you would not be asking.
Yeah, there were world-class barriers that you decided to have worked on just before this event. Those world-class barriers would have stopped that. You had backup barriers. You didn't know you had backup barriers. She's now admitted this. Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick has now admitted, oh, I didn't know we had the backup world-class barriers. But it's not a failure. If you know anything about terrorism, this was not a failure. I would think that the families of the dead people would disagree. I disagree with her. Next up in the Tower Babbling, Kamala Harris was in the Senate confirming new members. And of course, she opened with the Pledge of Allegiance, something all of us know so very well, unless, you know, we were born in Canada.
Join me in pledging allegiance to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the United States.
How's that go again? One more time, Randy.
Join me in pledging allegiance to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the United States.
Well, she said it the wrong way. I pledge allegiance to the United States. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. That's how it begins. Does she not know that? Seems a little weird. Next up in today's Tower Babbling, and last up, it's called a humiliation ritual. That's what we just went through. The Medal of Honor having been humiliated. There's no reason to give it out anymore. President Trump should go and he should cancel these medals. He should recall these medals. And constitutionally, he's able to do that. Alex Soros, the son of a man through whom the most evil has been done in the world and recently to this country. Alex Soros getting a Medal of Freedom on behalf of his deeply, deeply, deeply spiritually fallen father.
Stepping on behalf of George Soros is Alex Soros. The Presidential Medal of Freedom is awarded to George Soros. Born into a Jewish family in Hungary, George Soros escaped Nazi occupation to build a life of freedom for himself and countless others around the world. Educated in England, he settled in America as he became an investor and philanthropist, supporting key pillars of open societies.
Key pillars of open societies. Just real quick, by the way, he survived the Nazis by working with them, by helping them seize art. So that's one way to survive. In terms of open societies, George Soros has helped propagate the drugs for free that have ruined cities like Vancouver, Portland, Seattle, the open-air drug markets. He supported open borders. He's been responsible for depolicing. He's funded the election of corrupt district attorneys and prosecuting attorneys and state AGs who refuse to prosecute crimes. He has been convicted of being a financial criminal, using his great wealth to sink the currencies of countries, in other words, to destroy countries. He's a man who said America needs to be taken down a few notches. It was a humiliation ritual by a man humiliated, Joe Biden, now a known con artist, and also sadly known to be absolutely mentally decrepit, the perfect person, in other words, to be caused to give a medal to George Soros and the others. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
And a personal note today, what a miraculous happening we had in our family. My daughter, who chose to be rebaptized, she was sprinkled with water when she was a kid, and I now belong to a church where we believe in full immersion baptism. We don't believe, by the way, if you weren't fully immersed, that you haven't been saved. We don't believe that. We just believe that that's how Jesus did it. Therefore, we should follow suit. My daughter decided to do that a few years ago. Pretty surprising to us, praise God. She's decided that she wants to be delivered. She's been reading about deliverance ministries. And I asked her about that why would you want to do that? I'm not questioning, because I said, maybe I'll do it. Maybe I need to be delivered as well. And I know this is controversial, incidentally, and I don't think that I'm wildly demonically oppressed. I wonder if Satan has strongholds in me. I know I had a wrestling match with God. I know I had to be forced by God to give up something I didn't want to give up. I know it was the second most painful day of my life when I gave that up. I know I still hurt from it. So I wonder if there are strongholds. I have a friend of mine who's a deliverance pastor, and we're going to go and talk with him. In fact, I'm going to have him on my program this week on my podcast. You'll hear some of that. What my daughter said was this: I shouldn't be as afraid as I am. I shouldn't be as afraid of being around people. It's not good that people are alone. We're meant to be the body of Christ. I didn't used to be this afraid. She said, I'm not saying it's demonic, Dad, but God didn't make me to be afraid. He didn't make me to be shy of having friends. So I just like to explore it. She said, don't worry, I'll be very careful. And I said, hey, let's not worry together. Let's do it together with a friend I trust and a pastor who recognizes he can't deliver anybody. Only Jesus can. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Until God gives us the opportunity to speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.